welcome to this week's edition of our mastermind meeting. And for our topic today is going to be about internal and external. And I'm going to start, and I want to tell you who's here first. Jim in Boca.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Forrest Omnia in Columbus, Ohio. And
hello.
Harry Legg in New Jersey,
Verona. Hello.
And Matt Holker here in Tennessee.
Matt is having phone trouble. Not sure you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Oh, good. I can't see any of you, but that's okay.
All right. So what is internal? Let's start with that. And so do any of you have a typical kind of pat answer that you normally tell people when they go, what is internal? What is that?
I usually do an exercise where they can feel it, but not just a verbal answer. I usually have to get them to feel it.
What kind of thing?
I'll do something to the sort of, okay, put your hand out like you're going to turn a doorknob. Now, let's just do that a couple times, turn the doorknob. Now put your hand there and send the signal to your hand to turn the doorknob, but don't actually move your hand. Do you feel that bzzz in there? And every time people go, I do. I go, yeah, that's the very beginnings of learning how to spiral internally. So they go, oh, gotcha.
I like it.
Okay.
Cool. Anybody else?
I like to try to do a little bit more of the balance work, you know, put your hand on somebody and just, you know, with a minimal amount of force, try to capture the spine and then try to explain to them how to move away from that and to avoid that that feeling of being captured.
I like it, because you're saying you put your hand on them, you're tied into their balance and their center. And yep. Then even though you're being soft in the touch, they're getting affected by that, and where the average person who hasn't felt anything internal before is going, how is that happening? Yeah, because it's not like you're shoving them or something and they're being affected by the contact and the movement. Yeah, I like it.
Right, without muscular force.
Yeah, yeah, without shoving on them or anything like that. Yeah, no muscular force to speak of. Yeah, that's nice.
I like that one a lot. I typically follow it up by doing our exercise from the level one with the eyes closed, standing on one leg. assuming that they have the strength to stand on one leg, and I kind of test that first, then with the eyes closed and standing on one leg, and almost everybody has a pretty immediate reaction to that, and it's a good way to it's a little different, but I talk about how you're isolating your sense of balance, which is an internal quality, and to really get the internal sense of balance, you have to remove your vision from it, and that the other internal skills are like that as you're working on these skills, they are things like posture and breathing. And pretty much anything except for tension and muscular force. But these sources of power come from kind of from within your body, and that you need to work on them like you would any other source of power. And you to do that, you need to isolate it. And that seems to, at least for beginners, that seems to get them kind of the right idea.
I like it. Cool. Forrest?
Yeah, one that I like showing people super easy is just taking a breath in, holding the breath, and paying attention to inside. And that one usually gets some sort of light bulbs clicking in people's yes. minds. There's something going on inside. I feel some tension or whatever happens to be.
Yes. I like it. Excellent. Harry, the one that you use where you have somebody hold their fist out strong and you put it on there pushing against them and they don't move and it's hard, and then you do soft and they can tell that it's really soft and you move them.
Yes.
I really like that one as well.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites for demonstration. Yeah, thanks.
Because they get a sense that something else is going on and they don't know what it is yet. They can't really relate to it, but it's telling them there's something there. So I've got a list here that's by no means comprehensive. Balance and the inner correction of balance, including your inner ear and the way that your body interoception relates to all those things inside. That's certainly part of it. The breath, including powering your movement, where you, instead of moving and then breathing, that you breathe first, and you're really a lot less on the physical part, but it's really much stronger because of the way you use the breath to power it. And I like that, what you said, Forrest, about that feeling the inner movement of your breath too. The body structure and alignments, the actual, that you're using that, that if your structure's right and somebody pushes in, you're not really tensing up. And yet, because everything's in nice alignment, there's a lot of power to that. Internal, specific internal alignments, like when you get your three Dantians linear, lined up and that kind of thing. Power from your feet, where it comes all the way through you, as opposed to like just your shoulder or just your forearm, and then the difference in power that that makes. So like on the Harry and the one where you're putting that soft hand on him, if you really move with your whole body softly like that, that it's got all this juice in it, because it really is your whole body weight, even though it's soft and not just your arm and that kind of thing. And the way that your whole body's being used, because you could tense and use your whole body and it's still not the same thing. That tension actually cuts off and isolates it, right? Sung, excellent structure, alignment, and softness, so that your internal energy in your mind can flow through you without impediment, like an unkinked hose, and you're not squeezing the hose. It's a good open, the water can flow along the hose kind of a thing, and you're trying to get your whole body to be that quality. So the sung as a result of that, right? Refined body motion, waving, filling and emptying, internal spirals, all that kind of stuff. Usually it's external first, but then when you get it going, you start feeling that those same things are happening, and it's all happening inside, with very little or no physical movement, or certainly a lot less physical movement than what's actually going on. And with that, I say you do want to make sure you're really doing it, that it's not that you believe you're doing it or think you're doing it, but it's not happening. Not make-believe, right? The chi itself and the movement of chi in the body and the way that you're building the chi, turning the chi on, like through the energy ball connection, and then using that when you're doing things and feeling the difference that it really makes to have that energy connection while you're doing stuff. Your E, your mind intent, focused mind. This would include things like aim. I'm aiming to their feet, even though my hands are on their forearms, and then they can feel that I'm actually getting into and through their body with that. And then the speed, that if I boom and touch, how fast can it get there? Using the focused mind to get that. The number of operations per second, how many things can I perceive and how quickly can I perceive them? That by doing that, I get a lot faster, and I'm using internal things to get faster as opposed to external things to get faster, right? Mental states is included in E. These are things like, if I want to be really placid, what you think about Tai Chi doing that way. If I want to be open and receiving, like I'm going to give somebody a hug, that's a mental state. Different than the placid one, but still a nice one, right? Your awareness, and how far out from you does your awareness go, or how inside of you does your awareness go? Again, this is focused mind states and uses of those mind states. This is internal. Ting, being able to feel all these things in yourself and in the other person. Find and feel the weakest places, focusing your attack there. You put your hands on their hands or at the end of their fist, and you can feel inside somewhere that they've got an alignment issue, and you focus right to that place, and they collapse to it, right? That's internal. You're feeling the inside and affecting it on the inside by what you perceived and felt in them. Your feel and feel their insides for healing purposes and making adjustments and helping things that way. All right. Characteristics of internal. The one I've got is my number one is not tension. Tension kinks up the hose, and the internal just became, it's good external, but it's not good. Internal is not going to be able to work under that conditions.
And now a word from our sponsor.
What is internal power? Most people only understand external exerting power, which is another way of saying tense muscle strength. Bigger, more tense muscles equal more power. That's external power. Internal power comes from pretty much anything except tensing your muscles. There are many sources of internal power, and tapping into them is more of a mind skill than anything else. This is where the phrase mind over matter comes from. My name is Richard Clear, and internal power is what I do. Students come to me for the mind over muscle secrets of internal power that are hard to find anywhere else. Over the past 40 years, I have figured out how to get students on the fast track to effortless power. I created a one-of-a-kind online program that is getting such amazing results for my students that I put a money-back guarantee on it. Find out more at internalpowerkeys.com. That's internalpowerkeys.com. Thank you.
Internal is typically soft, but it can be really hard, like heavy water. Like if I put heavy water in a bag and blam, throw it on a desk, it's going to be hard. And like surface tension, if you jump from a 10 foot dive board and you hit belly first on the surface of water, it feels like you hit concrete, and your belly will show the big red mark all over it, and it'll hurt. Because you hit that hard water, but it's just water. So an internal has so many of the characteristics and qualities of water when we're talking about it in this way. And so it can be very hard, but it's not hard tense. It's hard in this other way. And they could say surface tension or something if you're talking about water doing that, but the surface tension's there when I'm doing this and dipping my finger in the water again and again too. So it's an interesting quality that's there the whole time while you're doing the stuff. Internal speed is at least 10 times faster than external speed. If I've got my hand on something and I tap that, and then I put my hand up on something, like let's say their fist, put my hand up on their shoulder, put my hand up on their head, I still have to go 1, 2, 3, and there's a speed with which I'm going to be able to do that at. Versus if I got my hand on the end of their hand and I can feel those things, I can be at their fist, on their elbow, in their shoulder, as fast as I can touch and perceive that, which is much, 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 much faster than the time it took to physically do those three things, even though I actually am on those three places through the point of contact. So that's a simple explanation. It gets a lot deeper than that. But that's same thing if I'm on the end of their hand and I'm getting to their feet. For me to go from here to down there to touch their foot, and then through their body in the process. But if I can put my hand on there and perceive that, that's now, it's more than 10 times faster. All right. Internal uses the breath, the E or mind intention, your sung, you're relaxing in alignment for whole body power. And internal actually uses these things where it's engaging them. And then the primary thrust is that. A lot of external, it's I'm going to throw a punch, mind form to throw the punch. And then it's my body is doing this, responding to this mental command. With the other one, it's more like, okay, I'm going to breathe this way and really get a lot of power out of that breath, or a lot of speed out of this breath, this kind of a thing. And at least it begins to really access the internal that way. Same thing if I put my mind into a state and that helps me to do certain things, I'm using that to be the driving force behind what's going on. Same thing if I use the relaxation to do certain things and I use that as the driving force. So internal. We do, in our style, we do, there's internal versus external and which is better, and internal is really great, da da da, does all these health things. External is really great, you really actually want to physical exercise and be healthy. We do internal and external to stay strong and healthy into old age. And I use Uncle as my example. At 84, he does physical exercise activity every day. He does internal activity every day. And he says that if you want to really be healthy, long-lived, and really in good shape and the best that you're going to get, it's do both. I've seen him. He can do both very, very, very well. high level, super high level on the internal. For the external, better than any other 84-year-old I know, or have met, with a couple of other masters who are equally towards where he's at with that, for the same kind of reasons. And so it really is both. This idea that to do the internal, you don't do anything to build your body at all longer term is ridiculous. It's going to lead to atrophy and bad health for you because of that. Now, somebody could say, well, what if I'm taking like really light weight and I'm moving and I'm doing my form and I do enough of it that I actually get physical development coming because it's a result? Yeah, that's physical. That's you're using an external thing to tie into using the internal with that thing, internal and external, right? So even though it was very smart in both cases. Any comments, suggestions, anything you guys want to ask about any of that or say or add or whatever?
No, it's I was looking at it from the perspective of the other harder arts. That was always a goal, to react without any mindfulness. But with the Tai Chi, it's interesting because you want to have that Yi concept where you're always still using your mind, but you're unattached or not thinking about the fight.
Well, and the goal is to get to the knowing part where it's not, okay, they're throwing a punch at me. Here comes a punch. Blam, I watch the punch come in. It's that as soon as they start to move in a way that a punch is, that you can tell, you can perceive the whole thing. You can tell which hand they're going to throw, what kind of an angle and position they're going to throw it at. And they haven't even gotten nearly to the point of throwing it yet. And because I can perceive it so well, I step out of the way. How did you know he was going to throw that punch? I perceived it. How did I perceive it? With my mind, with my other perception skills, you know, which lend themselves to the internal in my body. And I could see that coming, and I simply stepped out of the way before it ever came, where he could not throw that at me and land it from where he was. He was going to have to move. And it's that. It's getting so good at the perception part that they can't execute the things they're trying to execute and have them work on you because of it. And any good fighter is going to get some of this. It's just there's a couple different ways to get it. One is you can do things that build the skills and you're all healthy and well, or you can be in enough fights where you get your head pounded enough but manage to live through it and fight again to where eventually you start getting real perceptive. You know, you get somebody spending a lot of bar fights and you go to hit them, they'll see that. They'll see that and they'll move for it well because they've been hit that way enough times to where they perceive it. The difference is that I've talked to enough bar fighters that have this kind of thing, is that when you say, okay, how did you perceive that? I don't know. Or they hit a guy, bam, what was going on? He was about to nail me. What? He didn't move. I knew he was going to do it. And then if you find out later, yeah, he really was there to get that guy. And it's like, how did he know this? He's been in enough fights that way that he gets a sensation. Again, I've had the conversations with these people that are like this. And he's like, and I'm like, how did you know? And he's like, I don't know how I knew. I just knew. I've been attacked enough times. There's been enough fights. I just know when it's going to happen. How do you know? And they can't quantify, which means they can't take it to another level up. And in the internal arts, particularly all of them, really, but we're talking about Tai Chi as a primary for what we do, but also Bagwan, Xing Yi, and other arts, it's you get to that level of understanding and you keep building and getting it to even more and more and more profound levels of understanding, right? And ability and all of that. And we do it without getting our head busted in, you know, once a week for a year, because it's probably not a better, you know, it's not a good long life kind of thing. All good? Uh-oh. So he froze up there. First it was, and then, okay. Last but not least, hard versus soft. A lot of people think that the internal arts are all soft and that the external arts are all hard. There are soft externally based arts, and there are hard internal arts. Xing Yi, there is definitely a soft version of Xing Yi, but there is absolutely a hard version. If you watch Chen style Tai Chi, you can actually see changes and variations between really hard and really soft with the continual motion. And you don't see that as much with Yang or Wu style, although there are practices that are that. and it's hard, and so it can be all soft. You could do one where it's a Xing Yi version, and it's all hard, even though it's internal. And then there's, for us, we do hard and soft. We do both. Now, our initial is soft in approach. Most people need that in order to be okay and to build their body and to be able to work with the energy and learn all the different kinds of internal skills. But then at some point, we reintroduce the idea that it's still internal, but also with hard. And so it's soft and hard with a lot of it weighted towards soft, but there are some hard skills in there, even though it's still internal skills as well. And again, this comes directly from my teachers and all of that, for how to do it and the ways we go about it and all that stuff. So that's kind of simple and short today, but at least we've opened up the conversation. Hopefully folks will watch this, and if they've got any questions about it, we definitely want you to put comments below. We'd love to talk to you about this and get more in depth about it in any way, or if there's something that it becomes, oh, that's a whole nother bunch of topics, well, in our mastermind meeting that you're seeing on this video, we will get into it and talk about it in some depth, to help clarify it and to expand on the idea and to help you for your journeys in the internal arts. Any other things you guys want to add?
No, thank you very much, Sifu. It was great.
Me neither. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. More next time. Have a good one, guys.
Yeah.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
For those of you who are interested in internal power and want a reliable place to start, and for anyone who wants to experience internal power for themselves, go to internalpowerguide.com. I built a crash course in hands-on internal power. The Practical Guide to Internal Power is a work-at-your-own-pace online program. It is the course I use to get students from 0 to 60 as quickly as possible, and it is totally free. So sign up at internalpowerguide.com now and get started right away. That's internalpowerguide.com.